Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of the pastors here at the Rock.
Amen. 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 Well, in preparation for this message, I was spending some time with God, and he just kind of took me back to the garden. And I just so enjoyed my time with him in Genesis, just looking at some of these things. And I believed he prompted me to share with you some of the things that he showed me. But my mind sort of got in the way that maybe this is too basic of a message for many of you. I mean, Sunday nights is the diehards, right? You guys are the real Christians. No. I mean, that you come, how many of you come twice on Sunday? For reals, you come twice on Sunday. Yeah, so you're really saved. No, don't check my theology on that. Anyway, we're gonna go to maybe some familiar scriptures. It might be a little bit familiar to some of you, but I believe God's going to bless you. I believe he's going to help you. And in looking at some of these things, it really taps into the very basic roots of our Christianity, our relationship with God, our relationship that was bridged through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So are you ready tonight? Are you really ready tonight? So we're going to look at the Word, and I want you to be a little bit patient with me at first because it's a little bit of a long read, but it's good. So I want you to hang in there. Read the Word of God with me if you want to just look on the overheads or on your device or on your Bibles. But God's going to minister some things to us first out of Genesis. Let's turn to Genesis, the first chapter. And starting with verse 26, it says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.'" And I used to tell a lot of my single girlfriends that I would minister to that he'll give you authority even over creeps. So that's free. Anyway, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." So God gave Adam and Eve great authority. He said to subdue the earth, take dominion over it. And he created them, and he created us in his very likeness. So here they were, fellowshipping with God, God-like in how he created them. In Genesis 2:7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." So we were created in the image of God. Do I hear an amen? You might not feel like it, but you were actually created in the very image of God. And I was sharing with some Bible college students the other night, because it's a little bit hard for us to understand sometimes. But God has given us a very sacred free will. It's very sacred. And he absolutely will not violate our will. So if you choose to go to hell, he's going to let you. If you choose to not receive one promise or one blessing that he has for you, he's going to let you. And many times, We don't go to the Word of God with the tenacity that we need. We want to just put it all on God. God, do this. God, do that. God, why haven't you done this? Why haven't you done that? When he's given us exceeding precious promises, that promises to us, and he's waiting for us to say, "Thank you very much, Father. I receive." So I'm preaching myself happy already. But we were created in the image of God. Let's look at Genesis 2, and you're going to see some wonderful things there too. "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat it, you shall surely die.'" And literally the translation there is, "In dying, you shall die." So the dying process began at that moment. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. Did you hear that, guys? Not good. It's not good. If you're alone, that's not a good thing. That was free too. It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Comparable, not under, not over, comparable. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called every living creature, whatever Adam decided to call it. He didn't say, God, what do you think I should call it? God said, you name the animals. God gave a very important assignment. He said, you name the animals. And so they were kind of fellowshipping around this. And like, you know, God gave him a very important task. And Adam was like, okay, I think I'll call this one cow. And God, that sounds good. Sounds good. If that's what you want to call it, you have dominion. You are subduing the earth. You call these animals what you want to call them. And God is having this equal kind of fellowship with the man that he created in his image. Whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took out one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made, or the correct rendering is he built, into a woman. And he brought her to the man. And Adam said, she is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, Isha, because she was taken out of man, Ish. So she was taken from his side, not from the ground, not from the dust, as Adam was, but she was taken from his side. God breathed into Adam and caused him to be a living being. But as the rib was taken from his side, she was built into a beautiful woman. And we know that life is in the blood, in the bone, in the marrow. Amen, Pastor Joel? Life is in the bone marrow. And so God created and made and built Eve out of the side of Adam. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined or cling to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. See, sin had not yet entered the world. So we see here that it goes on. I'm not going to read the whole passage to you because then we'd be here really late. But we know the story that Eve was tempted to disobey God, to eat of the fruit, which God told them not to eat. And then she gave it to Adam, who was with her. I thought that was interesting. And they disobeyed God, and sin came into the world. And death, sin and death came into the world through disobedience of the representative man and woman. We were all housed in the loins of Adam and Eve. We were all, you know, it was through them that the whole world is now in existence. Every person that's alive now originally came out of them. And so there is that nature, that fallen nature that has been passed upon each person. So sin broke that intimate fellowship with God. Sin came in and broke that fellowship. Then in Genesis 3, 8 through 11, it says, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. For the first time, they experienced shame and guilt, the results of sin. For the first time, shame and guilt entered in with sin, with disobedience. And they heard the sound or the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. They hid themselves. That is a reaction to guilt and shame. A hiding from God rather than a coming to him. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid. Enter fear. We have guilt. We have shame. Now fear. These are the origins of these feelings, these things that rise up in us and torment us. Guilt, shame, and now fear. He said, I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, God said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? So God asked them questions, but God knew the answers. God was asking them questions because, number one, he wanted them to locate themselves. And number two, he wanted them to take responsibility for what they had done. But they didn't do that. Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent. And then God pronounced a curse on the serpent, a curse on the ground. And then he said that Eve would have, there would always be pain in childbirth. He declared that. And also that man now would have to sow and reap from the ground. He would have to till the ground by the sweat of his brow. That there would now be weeds. There would be things that would, pests and things that would destroy the ground. That might not sound like a big deal to you. But if that's the only way you have to get your food, then that's a big deal. And see, in the garden, they just had, you know, they didn't have any weeds. They could just eat freely whatever they wanted, all except from that one tree. They had the whole garden except that one tree. And now they were going to have to labor and work hard and by the sweat of their brow bring forth the food and the elements that they needed. Going on in Genesis 3, verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, which means live, life or living, because she was the mother of all living. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. So now we have innocent animals that are now killed to atone for sin with a view of Jesus, the perfect lamb, someday coming. That was prophetic, that there would be innocent blood that would be shed to pay for sin. Are you getting something tonight? Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man. He placed cherubim at the east garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. And we know in Revelation 22, 2, that the tree of life is now located in heaven. Before this, there wasn't a big chasm between earth and heaven. God walked freely with man, and they were in one accord. And now sin has come in, and it's different. There is a breach between God and his man. And don't you know that was a painful day for God the Father, because he created man in his likeness. And he was so enjoying that and seeing man take his authority and rise up and act very much like God in his character. And now there was this chasm. Now there was sin. There was a gulf between God and his man, and fellowship was broken. So fast forward. God watched over his word. He preserved the lineage for Jesus to come through. That's why he had to be so strict with that preservation. He had to keep faith alive in the world. Aren't you glad? Because he had to have man believing him. Man fellowship or wanting God and wanting to serve him and to believe God for the Messiah to come. It was God and Son being established. First through his covenant with Abraham. Then down the line, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, the 12 tribes of Israel. You can read all about them in the Hebrews 11, the Hall of Faith. But God was preserving a lineage for Jesus to come until there was finally a young girl that said, let it be according to your word. And the one that created man now became a man. And his name is Jesus. Are you with me? Are you getting something tonight? So Jesus, the created man, he was there with the Father. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus was there And on in John, the first chapter, about verse 12, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Jesus, who created man, now became a man and walked with man. So I said all this to say that God originally created you and me in His image and likeness for fellowship. I love Revelation 4:11. It says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." God created us to have fellowship with Him. He created us in His image, and He loves us. He loves you. Not what you can do for Him, but He loves you just because He loves you. And He is love. That's all He knows how to do. And so when you come into relationship with Him, He receives you just as you are, because He sees you as His child, either yet to receive Jesus, or if you've received Jesus, that one that He wants to fellowship with, He wants to talk with, He wants to get to know, and you to get to know Him. Are you with me? I think of it because, you know, we're at the season of our life, my husband and I, that we have adult children, and we have grandchildren. Hi, Fiona. We have grandchildren. And, but especially once your children are in their older teens and even through teens, but and get into their young adult years, as a parent, you really enjoy that fellowship with them. And it blesses you when they want to spend time with you, because they could be doing something else, right? They're not living in your home. They don't have to spend time with you. But when they seek you out and they want to spend time with you, it thrills your heart. And you think in some small way, maybe I imparted something good into this child. And when you hear that wisdom come back to them, or, you know, I remember when our kids left, we thought maybe they'd all starve to death, but they actually have good careers. They're, like, alive and doing well. No, and so, I mean, that was surprising, you know. But anyway, it blesses you. It means so much to you. There's a little meme that's gone around. It says, "Grandkids are your reward for not killing your children when they were teenagers." Grandkids are your reward, so hang in there. But we so enjoy fellowship with those that have been created in our image, and hearing the things that maybe we've nurtured in them come back. And so don't you know, it thrills the heart of the Heavenly Father. But His fellowship, the fellowship was broken. So in preparation, here we are in the garden again. And we see Jesus in prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. I almost named this message, "It Started in a Garden." But I wasn't sure if everyone would know what that was. And Pastor Dan's been teaching us to have titles that people know what they are. And no, anyway, a little insight. But turning your Bibles to Mark 14. Here Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And He's been walking with His disciples for 3.5 years. He's been ministering to them. They've been ministering alongside Him. He's given them authority to go out and cast out demons and get people healed. And here He is in His time of trial, where He's anticipating going to a cruel, dark cross. It says, "Jesus, waking Peter, said, 'Simon, are you sleeping?'" This is in the Voice translation. "Couldn't you wait with me for just an hour? Stay awake and pray that you aren't led into a trial of your own. It's true, even when the spirit is willing, the body can betray it." So just as Jesus received His strength in that garden, He was wanting His disciples to receive the strength that they needed in prayer also. He became sin. Jesus became sin. He went on to become sin, to hang on that cross. And He literally became sin to restore us back to that place of fellowship with God in a garden. God wants you to fellowship with Him. I love how it says that when He was meeting with Adam and He was holding them accountable for what they'd done, it says He came walking in the cool of the day. In the cool of the day. Perhaps, you know, the cool of the day can be in the morning or it can be in the afternoon. The cool of the day. When it's cool, before the sun is really at its hottest. And so you get the impression that that was his norm. That was his usual, to walk in the cool of the day in, around that garden. And that's what he desires for us. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, For God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. He became sin. He became the sin that was a gap between man and God. He became the thing. He bridged the gap. He became the thing that kept man away from God. Sin, disobedience to a loving heavenly Father. Sin. He became sin for us that we might become the very righteousness of God in Christ. Now, this is one of those verses that you've got to meditate on. And I don't know where you're at tonight. I don't know where you are in your walk with Jesus. But some of us, like me when I came to the Lord, have some stinking thinking. We say that and we kind of laugh about that. But really, we've got some thought life that is just totally wrong. And it could have been nurtured in how we were raised. I was one of seven kids, so I kind of got lost in the crowd. I was kind of one of the middle ones. They don't get a lot. They get all the used toys, trust me. They get the used dresses. I'm still wearing hand-me-down shoes that Pastor Michelle gave me. So, I mean, there's no there's no shame. There's no pride. Anyway. Where was I? Oh, Lord Jesus. What? Used toys. How did I get on used toys? Stinking thinking. So you develop these attitudes about yourself, and you adopt them. Oh, I'm just kind of insecure. Oh, I'm just an introvert. Oh, I'm just, you know, I just always, you know, interrupt myself. You know, I was talking to one of the employees that she says, oh, I'm just really klutzy. Don't say that. Don't say that. But we've had these opinions about ourselves for so many years. And we don't see ourselves as the righteousness of God in Christ. We see ourselves the way we were treated. We see ourselves as all of our faults, all the things that we've done wrong, how we're so undeserving of anything that God could possibly give us. And we've got to take verses like this and sit down with them in our lap and think on it and mull it over and let it renew and change the way we think about ourselves until we realize that we're created in God's image. He's made us his very own righteousness. He's removed the barrier of sin between us and him. And we can walk with him daily in the cool of the day. We can walk with him. We can talk with him. And he'll talk to you. And he'll tell you what you need to do. He'll give you the wisdom that you need. It's amazing. He actually likes you. He doesn't just love you. He likes you. Now, nobody else might like you. They might be walking in love toward you. But he likes you. He gets you. He knows why you're quirky, and he's okay with it. So hang out with him because he understands you. And he's going to minister wisdom to you and help you change the way you think about yourself. Because I'll tell you, that's where the issue is. It's not everybody else, sister. It's not everybody else, brother. It's not everybody else. It's how you view you in God that determines your relationships. And so don't be like Adam and Eve. Don't blame the serpent. Don't blame the woman. Don't blame the man. Come to God and say, God, I need to change. Are you with me? I'm totally off script right now. Because I believe this is the Spirit of God and someone needs this. You need to have an attitude that you need to change. There's a woman of God that ministers a lot, and I like what she says. In relationships, and you're so sure you're right, it's good to say, I think I'm right, but I could be wrong. That's a door opener. A marriage maybe needed that tonight. But we need to let God change us from the inside. See ourselves as he sees us. And when we change and realize that he will fill you up with his love, then you'll have love to give, and you won't be clingy and whiny and trying to extract it from everybody else and everything else. Are you with me? Amen. Well, let's look at 2 Corinthians 6:16, because I love this verse. It's a parallel verse to what we just read in Genesis. And actually, this is what prompted this study. 2 Corinthians 6:16, it's actually a quote from Ezekiel 37, 26 and 27. God says, I will dwell in them. He's in us. I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. He claims us. He's not embarrassed to be seen with us. He says that he will dwell in us. He indwells you by the Holy Spirit if you're born again of the Spirit of God. Isn't that good news? And he'll walk among them. He'll walk with you in the cool of the day. He'll spend time with you. He wants to spend time with you, as much time as you will make for him. I will be their God. They shall be my people. And now we have access to the throne anytime. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God lives in you. He's not far off. He's not numb to your pain. Many of you have suffered a lot of loss over the last few years. Many of you may have even unanswered questions that you struggle with at times. You love God, but there's these emotions and these hurts that you're still trying to work through. I wanted to share Hebrews 4:15 with you. It says, for we have not a high priest. Jesus is our high priest. He makes intercession for us. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. In every point, he's been tempted. He's had the same trials that you've had. But he didn't sin. He never hardened his heart toward God. He never turned from God. He never hid in his sin. He was tempted, but he did not yield to sin. But because he walked the human existence, remember, the one that made man became man. Because he walked out the human existence, he's easily touched with the feelings of your weaknesses. He gets it. Sometimes I almost imagine him nudging God the Father and saying, hey, Dad, trust me, it's tough down there. Because he walked this existence, he knows what it is to be rejected. He knows what it means and how it feels to have someone you love very dearly die. You know, he experienced all those emotions. And so he's touched with the feelings of our weaknesses. But he doesn't stay there. He provides for us, and he's given us exceedingly precious promises, as I just said, that we can receive our needs met in every area. He doesn't just empathize with our pain, but he gives us the answers we need. He gives us the help we need. He is a very present help in time of need. In Matthew 9:36, it says, but when he saw the multitudes, you and me, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary or harassed and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. He was moved with compassion, but he wasn't just moved to, again, to empathize and to feel sorry for us. He was moved with compassion, and then he did something. He laid down his life for us so that he could buy us back to that place of fellowship with Father God, walking with him in the cool of the day. He restored to us the authority that he once gave Adam and Eve. See, he had fellowship with Adam and Eve and created them in his image, but then he also said to take dominion over the garden and subdue all the creatures and everything in it. He gave man authority. So in man turning it over to that spiritual ruler, the devil, and choosing to obey him, he relinquished his authority. But now God has restored it back to us. Say hallelujah. And we can have authority in the name of Jesus over these things going on in our lives. I love Luke 10:19. It says, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents. See, Eve had that authority. She should have just squished that nasty thing. I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing shall by any means, any way, anyhow hurt you. He gave us authority in his name. He says, I give you authority. That word is exousia. It means jurisdiction, right, strength over the power of the enemy. That word power there is the dunamis, the supernatural power that the devil may have. He has given us authority over any power that the devil has taken illegally. He's given us authority over him. So you can rise up, not in your own strength, but by the power and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and say, no, devil, I take authority over you. You will not put that on my child. You will not take my relative. You will not do this. You will not do that. He has no right or license in our lives. But see, God's given us the authority. And so we can't say, well, God, if it's your will. He's established his will through Jesus. Everyone that came to Jesus, he healed. And the only time they didn't get healed was because of unbelief. And then we read over in the epistles that unforgiveness can stop some things too. But all things being equal, he has given you his precious name. And he has said, take authority over the devil, over the enemy, over any power of the enemy that would come against you to harm you. Are you with me? John 14, 13 and 14 says, and whatever you ask in my name, I will do. That I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Anything means anything. If you ask anything in his name, he will do it. Now, it's predicated that you're going to ask according in line with the Word of God. And that's why it's important that you know the Word of God, so you know what to ask for. But he says, when you ask the Father in the name of Jesus, we're in him, he's in us, and he has given us his name to ask, he'll give it to us. Isn't that good news? We've got a lot of good news going on tonight. Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, seeing you in his mind's eye, seeing me in his mind's eye, he did it. He went to the cross. He had the strength even to go to the cross because he knew he was buying back his man that he and his father had created. He was buying them back. He was paying the price that had to be paid, innocent blood shed as a sacrifice for the sin of the world. And it was for the joy of the relationship that he would have with you. So God has joy in his relationship with you. You need to have joy when you come to him. And to realize that if you will sit in his presence, if you will spend time with him, if you'll walk with him in the cool of the day in the garden, or if you don't have a garden, a weed patch, well, don't curse the weeds. Anyway, if you will do that, you're going to have joy. Because he said in his presence is fullness of joy. It says that in Psalm 16. In his presence is fullness of joy. You know, you can have a zillion dollars and be the wealthiest person in the world, but if you don't have joy, you're of all people most miserable. You can have all the accolades. You can have power, prestige, anything you could name. But if you don't have joy, if you don't have peace, as our pastor's been ministering to us, double peace for this year, peace, peace. If you don't have these things, then you're of all people most miserable. And I don't know about you, but I'm tired of running into miserable Christians. Is anybody else tired of that? And if that's you, I'm not tired of you. I love you. But we need to stop and say, I have a relationship with a living God that he sent his own son and shed his very blood to show me how much he loves me. He spent the most precious commodity to buy me back, and he wants to spend time with me. So in his presence, there's going to be that fulfilling peace and joy that you need that answers all your problems. I tell you, when you spend time with him, you come away from that place of prayer with a totally different outlook. Maybe not everything's changed, but you've changed because you've been sitting at the feet of the God of the universe. And when he speaks to your heart and says everything's going to be okay, guess what? It's going to be okay. And you walk with him and you talk with him. Isn't that good? I love John 15:15. It says, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I've heard from my Father, I have made known to you. He calls us friends. You might not feel like you've got a lot of friends tonight, but guess what? The creator of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ, is your friend. He has time for you. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to make a way where there might not seem to be any way. He wants to help you. Are you glad tonight? Are you glad tonight? So God wants to once more walk with us in the garden in the cool of the day. So when is your cool of the day? Is it the morning? It's good to do it in the morning because then you get out ahead of everything. You don't sleep it off. But if you only have nighttime, do the cool of the day in the afternoon. Spend time with God and receive what you need. You know, there's a song that I was listening to, and I was trying to get Cameron to do it by Mahalia Jackson, and I'm not going to sing it. But the chorus to it goes, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. God wants to walk with you. He created you for his pleasure. We need to prioritize our time and not hide from his presence with our sin, but come to him with our sin. Come to him with our fears. Come to him with those insecurities and place them at his feet. He says to come boldly before his throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and grace in our time of need. And that's all the time. So when we come to him, he's going to meet those needs from the very deepest parts of us on up. Are you with me? You know, he gave Adam and Eve assignments. He told them to name the animals. He's got assignments he wants to give you. Maybe you're not going to name animals, but maybe you're going to help populate heaven. Maybe there's some things that you're going to do that no one else can do because God's given you that assignment. And when you spend time with him and you hear his heart and that his heart is for the lost, see, as much as he loves you, he loves everybody that much. That person that is almost repulsive for you to even be around because maybe the stench or wherever that person's been, he died for that person also. Because they're created in his image, even though the enemy's done a work on them, God wants them in relationship with him. So as you spend time in his presence, he's going to talk to you about things like that, about being available for him to use to minister to others. And you'll think, little old me, I can't hardly put two words together. But he will use you, and he's got a gift, and a call, gifts, plural, and a calling on your life that you're not going to discover until you sit at his feet and receive from him. Just as God breathed into Adam and he became a living soul, God breathed on the disciples and they were born again. And then I love in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says that this book is God breathed. Within these very words is the very life and breath of God. As you read his word, as you spend time with God, the Spirit and the Word agree. You spend time with him and you look at his word. He's going to zero in on certain scriptures. And we talked about renewing your mind. When you read those scriptures and you give your mind to it and you meditate on certain scriptures, he's going to change the way you think, Change the way you think about yourself. Change the way you think about others. And you're going to have just such an amazing adventure with him. Him doing a work in you that you never dreamed imaginable. Did you get something tonight?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.